confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, very honored to have my next guest with us because I've always thought he was one of the smartest guys that ever stood behind the podium in the White House in the press briefing room. And that's a tough job for sure. I always liked the fact that he was a little bit more on his toes and far quicker wit than most of the people in the reporting corps. However, I would say that right now it's probably an even split. The kids that are all sitting in the reporters' chairs, and they look younger to me every single day. I'm like, how much younger can these people get? It's not the press event that it was certainly a few years ago. Anyway, I'm talking about Ari Fleischer because he's got a brand new book out, and it deals with a topic that I find to be very, very important: suppression, deception, snobbery, and bias. Why the press gets so much wrong and just doesn't care. Ari Fleischer, welcome back to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be with you.
Now, those four words, that's just the normal day in the life in the White House press room, is it not?
It sure is, and that's why I blow the whistle on it.
So what all did you find? First of all, why did you write it? But then what areas, you know, were really the ones that stood out to you?
Well, I wrote it because I was watching the press coverage of President Trump, and I came to the unhappy conclusion that the press took it upon themselves to write what they think was a wrong, which was the 2016 election. And so their coverage of Donald Trump was so over the top, unfair, unneutral, activist, and biased, where they deceived the American people about collusion, about innumerable stories, and they suppressed information that was good for Donald Trump. So I blew the whistle on the National Press Corps. I believe in fairness.
Michael Avenatti even got better coverage than President Trump did. And this is a head scratcher to normal people, because we would say, well, he's kind of a dude that doesn't need, you know, positive airtime. And the other guy is the leader of the free world.
You won't believe this. What I found in doing the research on this book is CNN booked Michael Avenatti almost twice as much as they booked the entire Trump administration to talk about COVID in the first year after COVID hit.
Oh,
they booked Michael Avenatti 122 times to talk about Stormy Daniels and whatever Avenatti wanted to talk about. But when the nation was in the midst of the most severe pandemic since the Spanish flu 100 years ago, they booked the Trump administration less than they booked Michael Avenatti. And I mean everyone combined, from Dr. Fauci to Dr. Brooks to Brett Giroir, you name it, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, all of them combined booked almost half as much as CNN booked Michael Avenatti.
In the height of COVID.
Proof that the press is out to get Donald Trump and not cover the news, I don't know what is.
Now, you also found that that bias extended to his political party and not just the ex-president himself.
No question. And I go back in time. I kind of trace this arc of where the press used to be an institution that people respected and trusted. And now it is one of the least trusted institutions in the United States of America. You know, a reporter's job is to tell the news fully, fairly, and accurately. And poll after poll shows they just don't do that. Instead, what you have, and this is a perpetual problem, and it's going to be a problem even after Donald Trump is gone. Democrats are predominantly represented in the media. The media are largely college-educated Democrats who tell news dedicated to fellow college-educated Democrats. If you're a gun owner, if you're a blue-collar worker, if you don't have a college degree, if you are pro-life, the press doesn't understand you. And that's what my book found. And this is why the press is really just a slice of America that talks to a slice of America. And all the rest of us shake our heads and say, they don't get it. They're out of touch and out to lunch.
The book is called Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias: Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Just Doesn't Care. Ari Fleischer is the author. And of course, he knows a little bit about how the press operates, because he stood there and took the bullets for day after day for quite a while in the Bush administration. And, you know, Ari, I thought that they treated your boss badly. when President Trump was elected, it got 10 times worse. And I, you know, who knows how bad it's going to be if a Republican is elected in 2024.
Well, that's my point. They've gone beyond what we all know is the case, liberal bias. They've always been that way. But they at least once 20 years ago pretended that objectivity was important. And they've given that up. Now they're overwhelmingly have just become activists for a liberal cause. You know, there's an old expression in local news that if it bleeds, it leads. And in the Trump era, there should be an expression called, if it's anti-Trump, it gets a bump. And that's the problem. News should be fair, independent, and right down the middle. But the mainstream media has abandoned that because they'd rather be activists. They'd rather have Twitter followers. They'd rather get praised by Hollywood than just stick to their job and tell the American people the truth.
I want you to check out Ari's book, Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias. It doesn't come out until, what, July 12th? But you can pre-order it now.
July 12th.
Ari, stick around. I want to buzz you a little bit on some of the stuff that we saw in the last reaction to the Supreme Court and what's come out in recent days and get your thoughts on some of those issues as well. Ari Fleischer, my special guest. Don't go away.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, you know, I've been reflecting throughout the hour at... When you've been working at something for 48 years, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, I was 4 years old the first time I heard those words. And I knew from then until Friday that I would spend the rest of my life trying to undo that. It really has thrown me for a loop. I spent all weekend kind of just marveling to myself that this moment had come. And I'm thankful. I mean, there's a lot of work yet to do. We've got to go into states. We've got to get local, we've got to have conversations, and we've got to be more compassionate than ever before about women who are in crisis. But one of the things that has been kind of interesting to watch is how the other side has completely lost its mind. I mean, they are talking about everything. There was one journalist on Twitter that said, burn down the Supreme Court. Now, I don't know what that would have accomplished. And I noticed that Twitter didn't can him when I said Twitter was killing their own business model by dumping Trump. They banned me for threatening violence against the company, but here he threatens to burn down the Supreme Court. Nope, it's fine. He can stay. It's the way it works. I know the score. But you saw the administration actually call the legitimacy of the court into question. You saw AOC say impeach all the judges for lying under oath in their hearings when they were confirmed. Here to discuss is a former White House press secretary for the Bush administration, an all-around nice guy and super insightful when it comes to how the press operates, particularly in relationship to the Oval Office. Ari Fleischer rejoins us. Ari, always a pleasure to catch up with you. It wasn't just what I just mentioned either. Some of the signs that the protesters have been carrying, I mean, some of the most absurd things that have nothing to do with logic. None of these people have read these actual decisions. None of them know that these decisions weren't activist and that there's an actual definition for how activist decisions get made versus sound constitutional decisions. But we really are living in kind of an age where stupid is running rampant. And I'm kind of concerned that we don't know how to adjust to it.
Well, I'll tell you, Kevin, for 50 years, pro-lifers and the conservative movement have learned how to live under a ruling they disagreed with. We didn't threaten to burn down the court. Nobody I know said that was the logical result of 50 years of a ruling that was not based in the Constitution. And now the shoe's on the other foot. And the other side is going to have to accept it and learn to live under it. And if they want to do something about it, they need to do what the pro-life community did. Rally the people. The people are sovereign in this country. They get to decide. And that's exactly how you ended up with the justices on the court who made this ruling. Yeah. But look, go back to the original Roe v. Wade ruling. Everybody knows abortion is not in the Constitution. It was contrived. It was invented. Decisions like this should be up to legislatures. And that's the way it will now be. That's how our system works.
And that's what one Ruth Bader Ginsburg actually argued. So yep. The idea that, you know, Ari, a right-winger press guy from a Republican administration. No. That's exactly the argument that Ruth Bader Ginsburg made, is that it was too broad, and we have a certain degree of clarity about that. But there is an aggressive assault underway to try to not only change people's minds and hearts, but to just import entirely anti-American and anti-Judeo-Christian ways of thinking into our country. I think we need to engage and to try to push back against, not in a way that isn't winsome, but in a way that ultimately can win hearts and minds. Because I've always believed that if truth is on your side, you really have nothing else to worry about.
Well, I think that's right. And I think the abortion debate comes down on two levels. One level is moral, that the left has never understood or accepted, and that there are many people who just view abortion as murder. They view life beginning at conception, and they mean it.
Science has helped us since Roe was handed down on that case.
Correct.
So you've learned, you've seen generations of kids have seen their brothers and sisters in the womb in ultrasounds that they couldn't see before. And that, I think that really changed a lot of, you know, popular minds. Anyway, go ahead.
It did change a lot of minds, Kevin, but I also want to acknowledge there is a different view too. So my point here is the left has never understood that there are principled, intellectual, wise people who do view life beginning at conception and they mean it. And that's why it's a moral, heartfelt, ardent feeling among those who are pro-life. But I will acknowledge there's another group that's in the middle in this country, and Republicans have got to be a little careful here. I do think there are many people who do believe that in the first month, the first 2 months, abortion can and should be permitted. The state of Mississippi, for example, when they passed a 15-week ban, you know, 15 weeks is into the fourth month. That's the very beginning of the fourth month.
Right.
I do think that Republicans going forward in the state legislatures need to think long and hard about, do they want an absolute, flat-out, 100% from conception ban, or should there be allowances in that first, second, or even third month, in that first trimester? And I think if Republicans all rush for a nationwide ban or a from conception ban in all states, they may go too far. The left got in trouble because they believed in late-term abortion, abortion under all circumstances, which the public rejected. But Republicans should be wise enough to not go in a similar direction all the way on our side.
Let me rush to another piece of this. How have you graded the White House's response, and particularly in the communications arena? The new girl is really struggling, at least it seems to me, on a day-to-day basis. And I didn't like Jen. I thought she was kind of off a rocker a lot of the time. But she looks like a real pro compared to what's going on now.
Well, I'll tell you, Kevin, I try to be polite. I will not speak ill of fellow press secretaries. The job is hard enough as it is. But look, the communications problem the White House has is the person in charge. It's not the press secretary. It's the president.
Right.
And it's not a communications issue. It's a policy issue. It's a judgment issue. And frankly, it's an old age issue. Things aren't working because the man at the top isn't working. That's their problem. The decisions he's made about just letting millions of people cross the southern border, about crime, about the withdrawal from Afghanistan, inflation, attacking America's energy supplies, promoting dependence on foreign supplies instead of American supplies. These are the problems that Joe Biden has created for Joe Biden. And the other factor they have, and I hate to put it this way, but I will. Every time Joe Biden is seen walking on TV, he loses a vote. He's about to turn 80, and the American people want to see vigor, energy, acumen in their president. And when we watch him, we just don't see it. All of it's adding up.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And it doesn't help that he has spent 37% of his days in office on vacation. I don't get 37% of my time off.
I prefer him on vacation.
Well, there's an argument, I guess, that could be made there as well. Hey, Ari, always appreciate your insight. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Kevin.
You got it. There he goes. Former press secretary for President George W. Bush, Ari Fleischer. And, of course, you see him all over the news channels and so forth these days. Kevin McCullough, really glad to have you with us. My final thoughts on this day coming up next.